Thank you so much for tuning in to Let's Talk, the official podcast of the National Runaway Safe Line, or NRS. At NRS, we operate the federally designated national communication system for youth who have run away, are experiencing homelessness, or who may be considering leaving home. For over 50 years, we've provided crisis support and resources for young people, families, and communities across the nation. My name is Christopher, and I'm the Director of Marketing and Communications for NRS, and I hope you learn as much as I do on this journey to elevate the voices of young people and youth-facing organizations as they share their stories and highlight the complexities and intersections witnessed by 4.2 million young people facing homelessness each year. This year, as part of Human Trafficking Prevention Month, Let's Talk is presenting a three-part series on human trafficking. If you haven't already, I highly recommend listening to the previous episodes where I had a conversation with Ashley Smith Thompson, a case response specialist with Polaris, about the misconceptions and realities of labor trafficking, and Tina Bigdelly, a program manager at the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, about child sex trafficking and exploitation. On this final part of the series, I'm thankful to have Corinda L. Washington joining us from the Blue Campaign. Corinda, why don't you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your role with Blue Campaign?
Yes, thank you, Christopher, for this opportunity. My name is Corinda Washington. I serve as Executive Director for Social Impact and Campaigns at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Headquarters. I know that that sounds like a lot, and it is a long title, but those campaigns include two national campaigns, If You See Something, Say Something, which I hope everyone has heard of, and our Blue Campaign, which brings me here today, and that is our campaign to combat human trafficking.
I am familiar with See Something, Say Something. Can you give a little bit more detail about See Something, Say Something for those who aren't familiar?
Yes. So our If You See Something, Say Something campaign is designed to ensure that the American public recognizes the signs and indicators of suspicious activity and how to report it. And so oftentimes you've seen our signage in our railways and or airports, metro rails, but also in our sporting events and venues, entertainment venues, and institutions, just to make sure that the American public is aware and remaining vigilant. If they see something, please say something.
That's so funny. We just published an episode with the Polaris Project, and they were talking about the importance of being like vigilant in everyday life, because sometimes, especially when we're talking about labor trafficking, that stuff is happening right in front of you and you don't even know it. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I do want to take a little bit of time just to help familiarize everyone with Blue Campaign. We, of course, have been paying attention to you guys closely since last year, and we're tried to be a lot more involved this year. So for those who aren't super familiar, can you give just a brief overview of Blue Campaign?
Absolutely. So Blue Campaign is a national public awareness campaign, and it's truly designed to educate the public, law enforcement, and other industry partners to recognize indicators of human trafficking and how to appropriately respond. One point I always like to make is that we are not encouraging the general public to act if they see or think that they see a suspected instance of human trafficking, but we do want the public to be comfortable and know that when they make that phone call to provide a tip, that we are there on the other side of that call to take that tip seriously and to investigate as appropriate.
Why is it important for people not to act themselves and to instead use like a system that allows them to report things that they see?
It is a dangerous environment. It's some instances that we wouldn't want anybody to put themselves in harm's way. We also want to ensure that the victim or potential victim, suspected victim, gets the necessary support that they need as well. And we know that that is a coordinated public-private effort, and we do not want individuals to act alone.
Mm-hmm. I kind of think to myself for like a situation where there's a parent or a guardian that may have a young person that they think is, you know, in danger of experiencing some type of trafficking event. How do we like educate them on the right steps to take to make sure that they're protecting them and not like you're mentioning, like taking action that can be dangerous?
Absolutely. One is we have two national hotline numbers. One is the National Human Trafficking Hotline number at 888-373-7888. And the other is a DHS tip line number, 866-347-2423. I provide those two numbers because we want to make sure that the American public knows 24/7 someone is on the other end of that phone call, and to make sure that they know that they have a resource. Why it's important for adults who work with youth or parents, educators, anyone who is in the environment that they may see someone who is a victim and needs assistance. We have a toolkit, several toolkits actually. One is for adults who work with youth and to know how to talk to youth. This is a delicate topic. Not everyone is comfortable having the conversation, but it is a necessary conversation. And one, Christopher, I want to highlight is we created an animation video. It's called Mia's Story. And we're depicting this young lady, Mia, who's just innocently on Instagram, just posting pictures. But how easily someone who has ill intent can drop in the DMs, give a message, and that starts this individual on a course of action that we want all of our youth to avoid.
I know that prevention work is a huge part of what Blue Campaign does. What are the places you think that are the most important for Blue Campaign to have visibility, making sure that people know who you are, know what you do, but also have access to the resources that are necessary to really make a difference when we're talking about human trafficking?
Yes, it's everyone is our priority area. And we know that that's a broad scope. And so within that, we do have special emphasis audiences and populations. One is vulnerable populations. We know that youth who may be facing homelessness and or underserved, underrepresented communities, there is prevalence. We also know through our LGBTQIA plus communities that we need to make sure that we are providing resources and necessary information because they can be a targeted audience. And then on the industry side, we know that a lot of these instances could happen in our hotel and lodging industry. We know that victims can be transported through all modes of transportation. And so just this week, we had a transportation sector summit to really talk through what is the hotel and lodging industry doing? What is the airline community doing? What are airports doing? But it is a collective effort in making sure that all hands are on deck to combat this heinous crime.
Were there any key takeaways from that summit from the different industries?
Yes, we had one of our airline partners highlighted the fact that they did partner with one of our NGO partners. And in flight this month, they have been airing information about how to combat human trafficking and the gravity of this crime. And so it was just really important for us to, one, for us to hear about it, but then for their airline partners, their colleagues, to say, wow, if this major airline has stepped up in this way, what more can we do?
I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and one of the self-depreciating jokes that I used a lot in college when I didn't know something was to say, oh, I have a Nashville education, I don't know, which I say that understanding that teachers are absolutely heroes and deserve everything under the sun. But it's more of an observation of the shortcomings I face going through that particular school system. Can you talk about the importance of having that type of information and education available in school settings?
Yes. So through several of our public-private partnerships or partnerships in general, which I must say, and I can't reiterate this enough, we cannot do this work alone. It is through the power of partnerships, whether they be public-public, public-private. We know that our secretary has even said that DHS is a department of partnerships because not one entity can fight this alone. And so in the education community, yes, we are going into schools ensuring that educators and leaders within those academia know the resources that are available. We also held a summit just for HBCUs and other minority serving institutions to know what the impact is, potential impact of human trafficking can be on college campuses and with college students and those who are away from home for the very first time, and somehow to the how these bad actors will target youth and young adults who are on college campuses. And then in addition to that, the training resources that we have on our website at dhs.gov/bluecampaign run the gamut from law enforcement or school resource officers, campus law enforcement, how they can play a role in helping to combat human trafficking on the campus, but then also on the student side. What can they do? What can student government do? What can student associations do in order to educate themselves and their peers?
I'm really curious, do you have any insights into how young people in college view human trafficking, such as any misconceptions they may have, or if they are interested in helping spread awareness?
Yeah, so the beautiful thing about being at DHS headquarters, especially in our Office of Partnership and Engagement, is we get to talk to youth daily through our internship program. And so every semester, we're rotating 10 to 12 college students who are working alongside of us 4 days a week full time. And even through their lens, we're able to hear that they hear about human trafficking, but not to the depth or understanding what DHS's role is in combating this crime, nor the general public. And then from the students, when we go out to different colleges and universities and high schools and middle schools, we're understanding that the term may be utilized, but again, the education piece is necessary. So we're following up with those training resources for the adults in their lives and then for the students themselves.
You mentioned earlier, like, them not having clarity on, like, DHS's role from the perspective of a young person. How would you define what DHS's role is in all of this, in the grand scheme of, like, human trafficking and prevention?
Yeah, so the Department of Homeland Security is a strong brand. I like to say we're the strongest brand in government, but that doesn't mean that everyone understands what we do. And so our primary function is being stood up after September 11 terrorist attacks is to protect the homeland. And within that protection piece, we have several DHS components, and sometimes people don't know that they are part of Homeland Security. So I'll give a couple as example. FEMA. FEMA is on the front lines, a federal emergency management agency, and for disaster response and recovery and preparedness, most people have heard of FEMA, whether it be through a natural disaster or some other major event or incident. U.S. Coast Guard is on the front lines as well as protecting our maritime security. And then the Secret Service. People usually can recognize a special agent with a nice earpiece and a suit protecting the president. But the Secret Service does more than that and has a varied mission as a part of Homeland Security. And then the last one, but not least, that I'll highlight is our Homeland Security investigations. And the reason why I'm highlighting them is because they are the largest investigative unit of the Department of Homeland Security, and they are on the front lines of combating human trafficking. They are doing the investigations. Just yesterday, there was an announcement of a conviction of someone for life in Detroit. So our special agent in charge, Angie Salazar, highlighted the importance of that conviction and sending a message that if you're a predator and you're preying on youth and young adults and adults in this space, you will get convicted. We will investigate you and we will prosecute. And we are hopeful that we will get convictions.
Yeah, this may not necessarily be a question for you, so let me know. But I'm really curious, what can people expect when they use like tip lines or hotlines to report human trafficking?
Yeah, so if for the Polaris National Human Trafficking Hotline number, that is a nonprofit organization, or another term we use is NGO. We understand that even the term NGO sometimes is a very DC term, but nonprofit organization, they can expect to receive resources. You know, maybe they are actually in a victim situation right now. They are being trafficked. They can expect to have a comforting voice on the other end of that call, and to be able to provide the necessary resources to get that individual out of a situation, or to provide resources to other nonprofit organizations for someone that may be suspected to be in a situation. On the HSI tip line, that is exactly what they're doing. They are providing a tip. And on the other side of that tip, our investigators are taking that on and to investigate, do we truly have an instance of human trafficking that needs to be prosecuted or investigated? But we also have victim assistance specialists who are DHS employees through Homeland Security Investigations, and they're providing resources for that victim. We are utilizing a victim-centered approach at this department, meaning that Homeland Security is not looking at the victim as the perpetrator. We want to make sure that victims are know that they have support here and that they have advocates on behalf of the department so that one day we will be able to say that they are survivors and or lived experience individuals.
You talk about resources. One of the resources that I identified almost immediately on the website, because it's my favorite way to digest information, is that there's a lot of training videos. Who are these training videos? Are they for any particular person or group or industry?
Yeah, so our training videos are open to all, but of course we want to make sure that some of our trainees are very specific because there are indicators that one sector may see over another. For instance, in the aviation community, we want to ensure that the entire ecosystem in that aviation community has the resources and the training they need. For instance, from the flight attendant to the pilot to the individual at the bookstore within the airport or the convenience section of the airport, we want to make sure that everyone who may touch that airport sees themselves as a resource, that they can identify the indicators, and the general traveling public. We want to make sure that they are remaining vigilant and keeping their eyes and ears open of the potentials there. In the airports, we are so proud of Houston and Fort Lauderdale. If you walk into a restroom in those airports, you're going to see that tip line number on the back of the stall inside that restroom. Or you're going to see our signage or PSA playing within that airport. These partnerships are important in raising the awareness of human trafficking and how to combat it.
I'm so curious, and I keep bringing up the Polaris interview because it's so fresh, but because it's so closely related. One of the like myths that they felt like it was really important to bust was that a human trafficking experience is like just being kidnapped off the street. They're like, that's not how it happens. It's not random. It's about building trust. It's about building relationships. What does that look like in the aviation realm where there's flights and, you know, it takes a lot more security to get through the airport and things like that?
Yes. Well, first, Polaris is an amazing partner. They have been a long-term partner of the Blue Campaign and of the department in general. And that airline that I mentioned earlier is Delta Airlines. And Delta and Polaris are who partnered to raise awareness or that in-flight entertainment programming to let us know about human trafficking and how to combat it. Within the airport and the transportation sector, specifically, knowing that victims are transported through aircrafts, we need to know that resources are available. And through our partnership with Polaris, not only are they raising awareness through the airline community and the aviation sector, but they also are ensuring that victims have the resources that they need and that they can, again, go to the side of being a survivor and begin their lives in a restorative and positive pathway.
So it sounds like these videos are like helpful and helping people identify what like trafficking, again, like just being vigilant and aware in the real world while you're like just kind of experiencing your own life, going through things like, where is there potential to be trafficking? What should I be paying attention to? How can I help people who are struggling?
Yes, and we, through our Blue Lightning Initiative, which is a part of the Blue Campaign, we partner with the aviation community to include airlines. So we just reached our 110th partner in that space, and we are expanding internationally and just signed our very first international air carrier. So we are really excited that Norse Atlantic out of Norway has signed on to our Blue Lightning Initiative.
That's awesome. Congratulations. So it's really like an international effort.
We're moving. This is a global issue. And so we have to stay vigilant and make sure that we are evolving as well in our programming and in our partnerships. And so, yes, that is the future of the Blue Campaign and the Blue Lightning Initiative, is to expand our reach on a global level.
Nice. So it's I'm sure Human Trafficking Prevention Month is the biggest campaign you guys do all year.
Yes.
Since it's the end of the month, can you share some of the activities that you've done this year?
Yes, we have. I mentioned the aviation sector and the transportation sector summits that we held. One was in partnership with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce just this week. And then as well as our aviation sector summit, we had over 200 individuals at both events in person, which was amazing and a testament of individuals. Last week, we had foreign air carriers fly in from all around the world to hear more about how they can partner with us in this space. And again, Norse Atlantic was there all the way from Norway to be able to put a face to the individuals who are advocating to partner with us on our behalf. And then also at those events, we had our DHS employees there. We had special agents from Homeland Security Investigations that is within our Immigration and Customs Enforcement Department. And so making sure that we are being relevant, that we are highlighting the importance of human trafficking and how to combat it. The other two I just want to highlight real quick, because I'm really excited about these, is just our human trafficking one-on-one webinars. And that was an opportunity for us to say the general public may not know, one, the prevalence of human trafficking, but definitely, you know, what do I do if I do suspect that someone is being trafficked? So we held three of those one-on-one webinars, as well as one in Spanish, and we are definitely expanding our language access. We have most of our materials translated in over 35 languages, with more to come.
What are some of what are some of your own personal takeaways from being part of Blue Campaign this year in particular?
Well, as you know, January 11th is our national Human Trafficking Awareness Day hashtag Wear Blue Day. And, you know, I was just so proud of the team this year. This is our first time being fully staffed. We have 7 staff on board. And if you can imagine, that seems like a very few, especially with all the work that we do each day. But our Wear Blue Day was a huge success, and I was just so proud of all the work that we've done. What was a really proud moment, and I'm sure my colleagues can attest to this, we were just so excited when we heard our PSAs playing on Spotify. You know, you're just doing your work, and you've got your earbuds in, and you hear, it's January 11th, Wear Blue Day is coming. Will you participate? We've raised awareness in some very non-traditional spaces this year, and I am just looking forward to us continuing in that space. And then our non-traditional partnerships, individuals who are raising their hands saying, you know what? We need to do more. How can we do more? How can we partner? And so I believe that the future of public-private partnerships is bright, and I am just so thankful that in the mix of that partnership is the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, the Blue Campaign, and the Blue Lightning Initiative.
What are some of the ways that I'll use up my own organization, National Runaway Safe Line. What are some of the best ways that we can partner with you guys or help bring awareness to what you do?
One area we are focused on are vulnerable populations. You all have access to a number of youth-serving shelters and resources and programming and youth-serving organizations where we need to expand our reach. We just received congressional funding. A law was passed to stand up the Center for Combating Human Trafficking here at the Department of Homeland Security. We're going to need thought leaders like you to let us know that some of the programs and policies that we're creating, we want to create those programs in partnership with you. We don't want to create and then bring you to the table afterwards and say, here you go, use it, right? We want to make sure you're thought leaders with us. And so I would definitely invite and encourage anyone who's listening, and you yourself, Chris, and the team, to be thought leaders with us, to partner with us. And we look forward to that.
That's so awesome. Thank you for that invite, of course. And I just stepped into this role as the Director of Marketing and Communications within the past 3 months.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I've been with the organization for 3 years now, just last week. And I think one of the biggest areas where I'd like to see us grow is in these specific and strategic partnerships with organizations like yours who, you know, are open, because we're doing the same thing. You know, we see all of the different types of organizations out there that are doing different things and like specializing in, say, like human trafficking. And it's really important for us to like make sure that you become the source of information for us and that you're also like who we can check in with if we have questions or concerns about things. So I appreciate that you guys are like putting that out there for people to like take the initiative and join in to the conversation in advance, as opposed to like coming in after decisions have already been made. Is there anything you're hoping to see implemented into next year's campaign?
Yes, I've asked the team to dream big. And so our trainees will expand beyond the borders of the U.S. because we know that our work expands beyond the borders of the U.S. And so the team will be doing international and global trainings all around the world. We want to make sure that we're partnering with global youth serving organizations, that we're combating human trafficking here in the U.S. and around the world. We know that World Day Against Trafficking is coming up in July, and we're thankful already that we have international partners reaching out to us to see what we can do in that space. You know, I think that the other thing is just growing our footprint, making sure that the next generation of employees know that they can seek DHS as an employment partner, that they will choose us when they're looking for employment, and hopefully that they will actually choose Blue Campaign and or any of our special agent positions to help us combat this heinous crime. If we're not doing our part to bring on the next generation of employees, we're going to be limited in our reach. And so that is a big part of what we're doing here at DHS, is to let people know what we're doing, but also to hopefully inspire individuals all around the world to join us in this fight.
Mm-hmm. One of my next questions was actually going to be, I think that a lot of times when people see these like huge national events like Human Trafficking Prevention Month and like Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, which is next month, a lot of times I feel like the action kind of happens within that time frame. And I'm always looking for ways that we can help people continue that type of prevention and awareness throughout the year. You've already brought up one that I wasn't familiar with, which is World Day Against Human Trafficking, which is in July. Are there any other like things that happen throughout the year that we can help people tune into?
Yes. One, I would say invite us to come to your events. Invite us to come into your places of business and or your institutions of education. We are available. So check us out on our website at dhs.gov/bluecampaign or on any of our social media platforms at DHS Blue Campaign. And let us know what you're up to. One thing that I know here from Washington, D.C., we're getting that 30,000 foot level of national activity. But the real work is done in every neighborhood, on every city block. There is some organization who has partnered to combat this crime. And so we want to hear from you. We want to know about the great work that you're doing, and we want to know how we can amplify the work that you're doing. So please reach out to us as we're reaching back to you.
And for like the average person, someone who's maybe not engaged with the nonprofit community or the social work community, yes, or any other like a community that's youth facing or interested in helping concerned adults, what are the most effective ways for them to get involved or spread awareness about human trafficking?
To join in through our website, to go into the site to see the trainings, take the Human Trafficking 101 training that Blue Campaign provides. And then see yourself within your community. Where are you connected? Are you a part of an alumni association? Are you a part of a high school alumni association? What about at your job? Could you host or play one of our webinar recordings and be that voice of change right where you are? Sometimes we think we've got to be connected to this 100 plus organization. I will say the power of one is powerful and mighty. And so you be that one, and you be the one to make change and affect change within the 4-block radius of your neighborhood, and watch how that expands out to the rest of the community.
I love hearing that, because that's, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I think a lot of people think that, oh, I don't have the reach, or no one like cares what I have to say. And we've seen like the power of just one person posting something on social media. If it gets to the right, yes, audience, then that has a huge impact. So yeah, and I also love the sentiment of like, instead of waiting on things to happen, taking action yourself. You know what I mean? Like, and yes. Like you said, you should be inviting organizations like DHS to attend like your own webinars or roundtable discussions to discuss these very important topics. And I want to get your takeaways from this year's Human Trafficking Prevention Month. Was there one thing that you really think that everyone should take with them from this episode in particular?
Yes, one big takeaway for me is that human trafficking is gender neutral, is age neutral. It can happen to anyone, anywhere. That the demographic varies broadly. And so we want to make sure that we're all remaining vigilant, that just as well as girls, boys can also be trafficked, or men can also be trafficked, and that we ensure that the resources are available so that we can identify this head on as much as we can. And then also just highlighting the labor trafficking issue. Be vigilant in some of the places and things that you're involved in, because labor trafficking is just as prevalent as sex trafficking.
Thank you so much, Corinda, for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today. And I can't wait to see what you guys have planned down the line and for next year. But mostly, I'm excited to hopefully connect in July for World Day Against Trafficking. I also want to thank everyone for tuning in to this mini-series on human trafficking, with a special thanks going out to Polaris, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and Blue Campaign for taking the time to educate us on human trafficking. I promise that this is going to be our biggest season ever, so make sure to like and subscribe to Let's Talk on your favorite podcasting platform. See you next time, even if this is a podcast and you don't actually get to see me.